Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
I'm having a wonderful day, bro.
Praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Rejoicing in the Lord.
Well, praise God. We, as always, we don't like to tackle contentious issues, so we try to make it easy on you guys. Now,
never do that.
This is a topic, and it's one of those things that we talk about a lot concerning a number of issues within the Christian church and those things outside of the Christian church, is that a lot of times we can be somewhat ships passing in the night when it comes to the terminology we use, when it comes to our understanding of what we're talking about one with another. So when this term is used, it's really, really important that we get a real understanding. And I'm just warning you now, we're not just going to do one part on this. We want to actually touch base not only today on this topic, but even next week as well. We believe this topic is an important topic, and there is a lot of misunderstanding. There can be misunderstanding in the church. There can be misunderstanding from people going up and praying before church concerning the idea of whether or not the Christian in the New Testament, those under the New Covenant, are we required to quote unquote tithe? And so when we use that terminology, some people immediately, if they hear someone praying and saying, hey guys, we're going to be taking a tithe for this week, somebody could look at that and say, oh, this is a heretical church, they don't understand. But sadly, you know, a lot of times we don't understand the colloquial terminology being used when it comes to the fact that a lot of people just use that because they've been in churches for 30-some years and they've heard the word tithe being used.
It's a synonym for give for most people, yeah.
Yeah, and when you want to give your offering or give whatever you're going to be giving to the furtherance of the gospel through the church body that you're, the local church body that you're involved in, some people call it a tithe. I don't. I know Joe personally. He says that it's somewhat of not a pet peeve. That was my usage, I think. But it's something that typically, as you did just last Sunday, you came up and corrected somebody to use the word tithe. And you said, hey, just so you know, we're not using the word tithe as in the offering. You know,
that's that just you what, have to give 10% or you're under 10%. Curse.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not. And that's exactly
what that's not how the brother meant it either. Yeah,
exactly. Certainly not. And he was using it in the colloquial term. Yeah. But just for clarification, that's exactly what the shepherd's supposed to do, right? You're supposed to clarify things. So it makes a lot of sense. And so that's what we're going to do here today, is talk specifically about the tithe. Why does the word of faith seem to get a lot of money coming in by using the tithing, you know, and using these certain verses? I'm sure you'll go over Malachi chapter 3. That's a favorite of theirs. And we'll be talking about those verses because we can talk about how it can colloquially be used how that can be used, and also how people can use it, honestly, in a demonic fashion. And we can really, not we, but those who would use this term and hold people down with it and, you know, actually propagate false teaching, it's really, really important that we address this. So that's what Joe is going to be doing, is helping us address this issue, is are the New Testament believers, those under the New Covenant, are they required to tithe?
Well, New Testament believers are certainly called to give. You know, Jesus says, give, and it should be given unto you, pressed down, shaken up, and overflowing. As I say, to the max and overflowing. We're called, Scripture says, it's better to give than to receive, and we're called to give in many different contexts. But as far as tithing as a law, that is a New Testament, New Covenant believer, you must tithe or you are under a curse from God. That is unscriptural. In fact, that's serious false teaching, and literally thousands, tens of thousands of churches teach it, unfortunately. In fact, of course, you see it with a lot of the prosperity teachers, you know, Kenneth Copeland or Gloria Copeland, and the prosperity leaders will love to quote Malachi chapter 3, 8 through 10, and talk about how you're robbing God if you don't tithe, and, you know, and so forth. And it's interesting because we see that a lot also in a lot of the cults, you know. The Mormons, you can't go to heaven unless you tithe. You can't go to the heavenly kingdom or the celestial kingdom because you have to tithe for a year to get your temple recommend. And you have to get your temple recommend to go through the temple ceremonies so you can actually, and you have to keep your tithing up, by the way, before you can actually get into the celestial kingdom. In Seventh-day Adventism, they'd only teach that you have to keep the Sabbath, which isn't part of the New Testament teaching, the New Covenant teaching, I should say. We're told not to let anybody judge us according to the Sabbath day. But they also say you can't eat, you know, meats, which the scriptures warn about those who would teach that. And they also teach another part of the law, actually, that you have to give 10%. In fact, I was just on Adventist.org, and it says, the tithe is the main source of funding for the total proclamation of the gospel to all the world by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I was looking at another article on an Adventist magazine called Compass Magazine. Every baptized Seventh-day Adventist commits to support the church by their tithes and offerings. So they're 10% and then other offerings. And I'm sure any Adventist 10-year-old could tell you that the tithe is 10% of income, end quote. So they're obviously not losing it, using that terminology in a colloquial way. They're using it in a literal, you have to give 10%, you know. And keep in mind, this is dangerous stuff because if you start telling people you have to keep the law of Moses and different aspects of the law of Moses that are not found in the New Covenant, you're telling them they have to keep that. Well, what does Paul say about that? That's really, really serious. So we need to talk about this. And now there's all kinds of different churches as well that teach that. And I'm just talking about a lot of Baptist churches, a lot of just Protestant churches that wouldn't be considered like the Mormons and would not put you under the law that you have to be circumcised, you have to keep the Sabbath, you can't eat pork. They wouldn't say those things, but guess what? When it comes to giving, they'll quote Malachi 3:8-10. They'll do whole messages on it and how you need to give 10%. You don't want God to curse you. And all of a sudden, they'll put their own people under the law. They never put them under the law, and there's other things. When it comes to giving, they want to make sure they're paying the church bills. And the pastor's getting his paycheck. Guess what? You got to keep this, or you are under a curse. And I wonder if some of them even realize they're putting them under the law of Moses, which is the Galatian heresy, and is a damnable heresy and could actually damn the soul.
And it's interesting. We're actually going to play a clip real quick right here. And this is Creflo Dollar. And if anybody has used Malachi 3 and other texts in a robust fashion to bring wealth to him for many of his jets and things, you can see how evil it can be, and I know Joe's going to be going over some of the verses, and I literally just sent this to Tony because I said, you got to play this clip because he talks about something he wishes he can enact in his church in order to stop the non-tithers. Go ahead, Tony.
Moving bars and give everybody a little card. They stick it in a little computer slot. And if they were tithing, beautiful musical to go off and... You know, welcome, welcome, welcome to the world, though. But if they were non-tithers, the bar would lock up.
Since the night.
The red and blue lights would start going, the siren would go off, and a voice would go throughout the entire dome. Crook, 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 crook. Security would go and apprehend them. And once we got them all together, we'd line them up in the front and pass out Uzis by the ushers. We point our Uzis right at all those non-tithing members because we want God to come to church. And at the count of three Jesuses, we'd shoot them all dead. And then we'd take them out the side door there, have a big hole, bury them, and go ahead and have church and have the anointing.
Ugh.
Aren't you glad we're under the blood of Jesus? Because if we were not under the blood of Jesus, I would certainly try it.
Then he broke out the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. I mean, what in the world?
Can you imagine? This is why we're covering it, though, right?
Yeah,
exactly. You see the seriousness of it.
Here he is, you know, saying, hey, he wishes he could bury these people that are in the church that aren't tithing. And he's basically saying, every single one of you, I wish you were dead, that haven't given 10% and aren't keeping the law of Moses, you know? And you put people under the law of Moses and put them under that guilt, you yourself are doomed because that's what Galatians 1
says, yeah.
You know? So that's really heartbreaking. And I mentioned right before Chad had that clip played that this is what a lot of the Word of Faith teachers are teaching. Yep. You know, I drove down the road and I don't know if it's a Word of Faith teacher, it's just a preacher on a popular radio station, not ours, by the way, goodfightradio.org. Got to check out. But, and I was listening to the message and just driving. And all of a sudden he got into tithing. He's in Malachi. And man, he just started telling you thunderbolts are going to fall on you. If you're not tithing, you're robbing God. You're breaking his law. And I'm like, wow, well, at least he didn't say, I want to take you out back and shoot you. At least he's blaming on God with Uzis, you know.
To the ushers.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. And guess what, guys? If you are under the law of Moses, then you'd have to keep the tithe law. And by the way, we are not negating giving. We're not encouraging you not to give
Amen.
To the church you're in. If you're going to a church that preaches Jesus, preaches the gospel, the scripture is very clear that ministers of the gospel are to be supported. There's many passages on that. You're supposed to help the poor. We're supposed to give generously. We're supposed to give out of thanksgiving. And we're not saying not to tithe either. If you've been moved in your heart to give 10%, if you're doing it because you feel God will damn you, though, and you have to based on Malachi and the law of Moses, then you're doing it for the wrong
reasons.
You're
getting circumcised.
And you're not under the law. Then you got to keep all the law, right?
Yeah.
If that's the case, you know, then you're putting a burden on yourself that shouldn't be there. We should be giving generously out of our hearts because of what Jesus did for us. And my heart is, you know, we're supposed to call it love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? So really, I think we're called to give 100% of our lives to him. Amen? So what that may look like financially when you're paying your bills and everything else, that's going to be ultimately between you and God. So we're not negating, we're a ministry. We need God to minister to us by meeting our needs, and he does it through people. Yeah. And we've been able to do, by God's grace, a lot of things because people inside our local fellowship here and outside our fellowship, so many people give online that help our ministry. That's why we can do Good Fight Radio videos and so forth.
You know, when we just did that update, you know, we had a great sister in the Lord from New York, and she wrote about, hey, you know what? We try to give to Blessed Hope Chapel, to Good Fight Ministries, because we see that the Word of God is being preached here. And that was a blessing to my heart, that she was encouraging others to say, hey, this is a great place where people are actually hearing truth. It's sad that the Joel Osteens and the, you know, the Creflo Dollars are just, you know, their ministries, they have all this money in the jets and stuff. And it's usually because you wouldn't, as a pastor, you know, you wouldn't ever place that burden on someone and be like, hey, I know you're supposed to pay your bills, but you really got to give that 10 first, you know, because this is your bill first. And it's sad. It really is heartbreaking to see that.
The only airplanes I have are paper airplanes I make with my grandchildren.
I have to pick them up in the back of the car.
So it's interesting, guys, when you think about this. The Israelites were called to give 10%. They were commanded to give at least 10%. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 14, it was, quote, a tenth of all your field's produce each year, a tenth of, quote, the grain, new wine, and oil, and firstborn of your herds and flocks. I mean, this was a dent in their produce. But guess what? They recognize God's the one that brought them in the promised land. And by the way, the tithe law was connected to them being brought in to the promised land. God gave them all this. He said, don't forget me when I bring you in. You're going to have houses that you didn't build, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's calling for a tenth back of what he's giving them. Actually, a little bit more, as we'll see. So why was the tithe required? It was required to provide food and support for the ministry of the Levites, the temple functions, the ministry of the word by the Levites, and also it was required for compensation of the service in the tent of meeting. We read in 18:31 of Numbers, and 18 of Numbers covers a lot of the stuff I just mentioned. It was called for helping feed the poor, which could include foreigners and orphans and widows and what have you in the various communities. We read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and chapter 26. It was required to remember the goodness of the Lord and just be a blessing to the Lord. But guess what? If you're going to enforce the Old Testament giving laws, or you think I'm supposed to keep the Old Testament giving laws, guess what? It's more than 10%, guys. In fact, when you research it, there's 12 to 14 different tithes that are given in a course of 7 years, one every 3 years. And when you do the math, it adds up to about 22-23%. Somewhere between 20 and 25% would be how much you would have to tithe on average a year. So you're giving, really, you're safer giving 20% if you're trying to keep the law of Moses, because that's what the Jews were giving. And it wasn't a straight 10% if you add up all the different times they tithe, the things they tithe, and so forth. So I think that's important. And besides the tithing, he says, bring in your tithes and your contributions or your offerings. They also have free will offerings.
Yep.
You remember when they built the temple, they called people to freely give to the service of the temple. And as you were moved in your heart, Exodus chapter 25. And I think that's important. In Exodus chapter 35, all the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything to the work for the work of the Lord, had commanded by that was commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a free will offering to the Lord. And I think this is very important that we get, because their tithing was 22, 23% or so, right around there. You can argue around 20. You can argue all the way up to 25 maybe, depending on how it's impossible to know exactly, but it's right around there. But then there were the free will offerings as well, you know? And that's not, so those who are quoting Malachi, they should be quoting other passages as well. They're trying to keep people under the law. This is the passage that's quoted, and let's look at it a little bit. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Now, this is interesting. And guess what? In the context of the old covenant, they were robbing God because God cares for the poor. The poor belong to him. He's the one that's given him all this abundance and the cattle on a thousand hills and all the produce and everything. He's saying he wants them to take care of the poor. He wants the priest to be taken care of and the ministry of the temple to go on. And as these things were becoming insufficient, they were robbing God of the work he wanted to be done and showing forth the coming of Messiah through the typologies and through the temple work and showing his very heart to the poor, the provisions that he had brought. So in that context, they were robbing God under the theocracy that we know as Israel. This, though, this command in Malachi chapter 3 is not to the church. It's in the old covenant. It's not in the new covenant. Brothers and sisters, if you are a Christian, you are under the new covenant. You're not under the law of Moses. You're not under the old covenant. You're under the new covenant. You're under the law of Christ, which Paul mentions in Galatians 6, first few verses, and also in 1 Corinthians 9. We're not under the law of Moses. And it breaks my heart when you see all kinds of people trying to keep the law of Moses and thinking, well, I'm not, oh, wait a minute, Joe, I know I'm not under Sabbath. But then millions of Christians know they're not under Sabbath law. They'll say, yeah, that would be heresy. Somebody told me I had to keep the Sabbath to be right with God. Yet millions of these professing Christians think they have to tithe, otherwise they're robbing God. I don't know what the exact number is, but too many. These ministries are huge that are teaching people this. But look at the context. Back up just a couple verses. Who is this verse addressed to? Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, Israel, are not consumed. It's addressed to the sons of Jacob, okay, Israel. In Malachi chapter 1, if you look at the context, verses 6 through 8, the priests were corrupt. They were presenting defiled animals. They could care less, you know. They were just, you know, giving the Lord the worst. They're giving them the defiled animals and the sacrifices. And God was saying, basically, Malachi 1, 12 through 15, it's these priests who are under curse. And then the people of Israel, by way of extension, who are refusing to tithe and just doing their own thing, they're placed under curse as well in 3:10. But there's a bigger context, and it has to do with the nation of Israel. So I think it's imperative that we understand that we are not under the law of Moses. We've dealt with whether we're under the law of Moses or not on a few episodes in this last year or so, and we obviously are not. So don't let anybody put you under the law of Moses. And if they put you under that law, you better let them know, hey, just ask them if somebody says, we have to tithe. Brother, you're robbing God. Okay, say, hey, have you been circumcised? Do you keep the Sabbath? Do you mix linen with cotton? Do you travel, you know, on the Sabbath day? Do you start a fire the Sabbath day? Do you cook anything? I mean, you go on and on and on and on. And then quickly, if they're reasonable, and they'll say, and scriptural, they'll say, well, I don't do any of those things. Well, guess what? And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But now some people, when they come to the New Testament, they say, yeah, but the New Testament teaches tithing. But they'll point to a scripture in Matthew chapter 23 when Jesus is addressing the Pharisees under the old covenant. He hasn't inaugurated the new covenant yet. Hasn't died for our sins yet. And in Matthew 23:23, we read, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Yes, because they were under the law of Moses. And if they're going to keep the law of Moses, they need to keep the whole law. However, guess what? Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, he talked about giving your gift as prescribed by the law of Moses at the altar. Do we do that today? No, because we're not under the law of Moses. We say, well, that's not the Mosaic law. That's under the Mosaic law you did that. There's no altar in the temple or in regard to Judaism that we're to give to anymore. Now we give to the Lord. So it's imperative that we understand when you look at Malachi chapter 3, we are not under that law. Listen to Romans 6, 14 and 15. Paul says this, For sin will not have dominion over you, since you are not under the law, talking about the law of Moses, but under grace. What then? Are you to sin because you are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Romans chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. For when we were while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But he goes on to say, but now we are released from the law. We are released from the law. That's including Malachi chapter 3, verses 8, 9, and 10. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the way of the written code. Galatians 3, 24 and 25. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came. Catch that, guys? The law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, which he just says the guardian is the law. So now that we have faith in Christ, we're free in Jesus, we're under the new covenant, we're no longer under the law of Moses. So don't let anybody judge you according to keeping the Sabbath or keeping the tithe law in Malachi chapter 3. And by the way, the curse he's talking about, you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 12, I believe, and it's a whole bunch of curses that are heaped upon the person that isn't keeping his law, and promises and blessings that'll happen if you are keeping the Mosaic law given to the Jews. By the way, again, you could just go to the New Testament. You have somebody saying, you have to tithe because Malachi says you're under a curse and you're robbing God if you don't. Well, quote Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 to them. Paul writes, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Paul's bottom line is, you got to keep every Mosaic law now if you want to be right with God through the law of Moses, and nobody can, so therefore anybody trying to keep it and trying to be right with God through the law is under a curse. So,
yeah, it's interesting, you know, as we talk a lot about on here as early church fathers as well, and Irenaeus actually spoke to this as well, specifically about the payment of tithes. He said, the Jews were constrained to a regular payment of tithes.
That's right.
Christians who have liberty assign all their possessions to the Lord, bestowing freely not the lesser portions of their property, since they have the hope of greater things. And I think
it's beautiful.
In my mind, when I read that, what it's pointing to me is that we have a different heart. We have a different mind. It's not simply just, hey, do these things so you can get XYZ. It's the fact is our heart are freely given because we've been freely given on the cross.
Yeah. Jesus
was freely given to us. And it's so cool because there's a number of quotes just like that in the early church. Irenaeus has another quote that's much longer. I didn't want to read it. But it's really cool because you see this, him pointing out specifically the Jews were constrained to this specific regular payment of tithe, but we have a totally different offering. It doesn't mean like, oh, I just don't give anything now because I'm free. No, he's like, no, we give more because I want the work of the ministry. I want the work of service Amen. To go in further.
Like Jesus said, you know, render to Caesar as Caesar's, but render to God what's his.
Everything.
Whose image is on this coin? Caesar's, yeah. No, give Caesar what's Caesar's, but whose image are we made in, man? God's. Amen. Give your whole Amen. Life to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 6, 2, so, you know, how much do we give then as Christians in the new covenant? Because we're not saying not to give. In fact, we're not saying, oh, you guess what? You should only give 2% now, or 3%, or 9.5%. You don't have to give 10. That's not the angle here. We just want you to understand God's truth, that God wants you to give, of course, but he doesn't want you to give according to the law of Moses as though you have to, or you must, or you're required to be right with God. We are right with God by faith in Christ, okay? Now, in 1 Corinthians 16, 2, the Apostle Paul writes that we're to give according to how the Lord has prospered you. Okay, next week, what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, we're going to have a teaching. We'll do a teaching on New Testament giving. So we can get more into this and say, okay, what is God looking for, you know? But I think it's interesting. When Paul's writing, give according to the Lord, how he's prospered you, think about what that means. There, how has he prospered? Give according to how he has prospered me. Okay, now that's important. Now, what would a lot of the Jewish audience think when Paul said, give according to the Lord has prospered you? Well, they gave a percentage to the way the Lord prospered them according to the law of Moses before they were set free by Christ. So obviously they'd also be thinking, hey, I'm going to give a percentage or how the Lord has prospered me. But notice the Apostle Paul does not put a stringent number that you must keep and aim for to be right with God. That's the key here, guys. And I think back, and this is what my wife and I have done through most of our Christian walk, is I look at Abraham and I look at Jacob as examples of giving. And we don't limit it to this, though. I think Abraham was before the law came. Jacob was before the Mosaic law came. And then Abraham, we see in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, he gives a tenth of his spoils, 10% of his spoils, to who? To Melchizedek. In Hebrews chapter 7, the author of Hebrews makes a strong point on how Melchizedek is still receiving tithes because he still lives. But Melchizedek is a picture of Christ, and Jesus is the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So he's letting us know that Abraham was giving to one who was greater than him, Melchizedek. Melchizedek's picture of Christ. He's without genealogies, you know, and so forth, a picture of Jesus. Some believe as the Lord of righteousness and, you know, King of Jerusalem, you know, he was Christ, a pre-incarnation of Christ right there. But either way, I think it's fascinating when you think about this, is that Abraham, we are children of Abraham through faith. He's a picture of the gospel, amen? He was justified by faith even before circumcision took place. That's Paul's argument in chapter 4 of Romans. Paul talks about how we're not under the law. We're children of Abraham through faith. We're heirs according to the promise, Galatians chapter 3. So I look at Abraham, I say, well, you know what? Abraham gave 10% to Melchizedek. That's an interesting picture there. Is that a law? No, it's an example. Just as I mentioned earlier in a message we just had this week on taking unleavened bread. And mm-hmm. it's a beautiful picture in communion. There's no scripture that says, thou shalt use unleavened bread or else you're under a curse. But because in the picture form and because by way of example it's there, I feel really comfortable in taking unleavened bread. In fact, I have to be honest, I would not want to use bread that was leavened because to me, that was a picture of sin. And with my own conscience, it might hurt my conscience, even though I know there's no command on it. I love the typologies and the clear picture of Jesus in the unleavened bread. Abraham's a great picture, but not a command. When Jacob, okay, Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob, his grandson, he was blessed there at Bethel. He gets a dream from the Lord, and he's blessed, as he says, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered me your enemies into my hand, and then or your hand. And then he says, well, I think this is powerful, because I'm going back to Melchizedek there. I want to skip right ahead to 28:22.
That'll be an episode soon. Yeah. Who is Melchizedek?
Yep. God met Jacob at Bethel, and he promised him all these different things. He's going to bless him with, you know, his whole future. And then you know what Jacob said? And this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. So everything he was going to receive from God for the rest of the future, he was going to give a tenth to the Lord. I think that's a great picture. So when we use the term tithing, if I use it in my vocabulary, I look at it as an example of how much was given by the patriarch Abraham, father of the faith, by what Jacob gave as instructive to me by way of example, what I might consider giving if I'm giving according to how the Lord has prospered me. Amen. Not that I'm going to be limited to 10%. I can give more. I can give less as the Lord prospers me. As I look at my bills, I look at the needs around me, and I don't just limit it to 10%. I say, hey, guess what? There's all kinds of needs people have all the time, and sometimes I'm able to help people in certain ways, and sometimes I'm able to give somebody, you know, $5 or $10 when I've already given them a tip or something just because I've told them about Jesus. I say, you know what? I'm giving them a little extra tip so they don't so they realize, hey, this guy's not cheap, you know? But we're not to serve mammon. Jesus said, you can't serve both God and mammon. We're supposed to only serve Jesus. And let me just close with 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and following. Remember this, he says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, like with an Uzi at your back or head, like Creflo Dollar was doing, but for, he says, God's love, or for God loves a cheerful giver. Give cheerfully to Jesus, brothers and sisters. And it doesn't have to be 10%, but pray and do it to God's glory with thanksgiving.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.